Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning. I think maybe it'd be a good idea to hear that one more time.
Yeah.
Father God, good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Good morning. You ever think about that? Good morning. Good morning. Have a good morning. You know, God is marvelous. That's all I can say. And sometimes, most of the time, with me anyway, I have to wait. I've learned that. You see, God will show you something, and then you have to wait until he reveals it. And I'm just now beginning to understand a little bit better why he does that. Because, you know, brothers and sisters, sometimes when God first tells us something, we're not ready. We're not ready to receive his perspective of it. And some people, believe it or not, never get ready. I mean, because I'm learning, they're just stuck. And sometimes, most times, the hardest job in the world is to get a stuck person unstuck. And that is a tactic that the enemy uses. And he uses it over and over and over again. And the reason he does that is because he knows how rebellious his creation is. He knows how stubborn his creation is. He knows how egotistical his creation is. But he also knows this, that he is the answer. And he knows that he is his creation's best answer. Because being the God and being so good that he, like he is, he knows that eventually those that are his are going to come around. Now, I said yesterday, I said, if I had spent all that money and went all the way to that meeting that those people wanted me to attend, I would have been mad like 10 pit bulls. And I would have been upset. But because I weighed it, you know, I pondered it like Simeon told Mary, he said, you know, you're gonna ponder a lot of things in your heart. So then I said, okay, God, you had me do this. I didn't lose any money because I didn't have that blessed assurance. I said, so why am I, and I don't have, Lord, I'm talking to God now, I don't have any time to waste. I have so much to do. Why am I spending this time on this? And I said to God, I said, you know, it'll be worth it, God, if I just get one word. Give me something to let me know that this is not a waste of your precious time. And I see all these people here, and they were all talking about, they were all excited, and they were how this particular meeting was going to affect the whole world. And I'm sitting here saying, now it's got to be me, because I'm not on one accord with this. And then I began to look at myself. See, I have a pretty strong personality. And my personality is pretty radical. And my personality, it can be out there. For sure it's strong. And I'm looking at these people, speakers and so forth. And I said, God, every day I live to get closer to you. So it's got to be some reason you got me here. He said, yeah, it is. I said, what is it? For you to see this? I said, I want you to see these people not joyful. They're not happy, Erica. They're not happy. He said, how are they going to change the world? How are they going to change anything? He said, all of these people here love me. I said, I believe that. I understand that. Brothers and sisters, let me share something with you. If you are at the point where somebody got to pump you up about Jesus, you're in a bad place. If you had a point in your life where you don't have and you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord, you're not in the right place with Jesus. And it was the kind of thing, you know, for the praise and the worship, they had a nice violinist. They had a big, a nice piano and a nice, I mean, the shofars, they had they had a shofar brigade, I guess. They had drums. And they had music. And they were talking about how phenomenal it was, how great it was. And I just said, wow, to myself. And then I thought, well, you know what? That's their personality. That's not my personality. That's not, you know, it was nice. It was soft. It was soft. And I said to myself, I said, I got to adapt just for this. I got to adapt because it can't be my way. It's got to be the Lord's way. So I said, I'm just going to sit here. I'm just going to adapt and I'm going to discipline myself because I'm real disciplined anyway. I'm a disciplined person. So I said, I'm going to discipline myself, and I'm going to go through this. Well, what happened is I sat in the chair, and I went to sleep. Really. And then I woke up, and it was still mundane. That's the best way I could put it. So I said, okay. Am I around a bunch of intellectuals or what? So I listened. I said, God, I don't have that one word yet. I didn't get it yesterday. Maybe I'll get it today. And I spent from 9 o'clock in the morning. So I just couldn't take anymore. What time did it end, you know, Jose? 10 at night? Till 10 at night. I just got up. I couldn't take anymore around 9. I just couldn't take anymore about 9. But I'm gonna be looking for that one word today because if I commit to something, I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. But what I realize, this is for believers just coming off milk. They ain't even on, you know, when the baby food, when you start, now I'm not certain how this works, but when they start giving the baby, you know, baby food in the jar. Like I've seen, you know, little babies like chicken and peas. And so I said, these are the leaders. And they just own baby food. I said, no wonder. No wonder. No wonder the people not growing at the rate they should. And I'm saying, these leaders own baby food. And then I thought back to North Georgia Revivals, Pastor Todd teaching on Sunday. And he was teaching on faith. And then it was a guy teaching in the evening. I didn't even finish watching him. Jessica say, yes, ma'am, 6-month-old infants going into toddler stage. That's when they eat that. That looked like where these leaders are. And, you know,
the scriptures say, when I come, Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith on earth? That's the question Jesus leaves there. When I come, will I find faith on earth? I think if the church doesn't pull itself up out of this tailspin that it's in, that I know God is going to do it, because I was a living witness to it yesterday, and I'll be a living witness to it today. And it ends on Wednesday. So I made that commitment. I'm gonna get that one word, but I didn't get it. And not only did I not get it, but I didn't even have time to really study for my own ministry. I didn't have time to study, you know, like I get fresh manna every day. Every day. And I'm saying to myself, now, wait a minute. I know what I have to go through to feed the people in my ministry. And I'm saying, well, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. Wait. Tell me, show me something. I don't have it yet. I'm like a fish that's been caught on the line, pulled out the water, and laid on the grass, flopping around right at this moment. My mouth is hanging open because I cannot believe the state of these leaders that I'm looking at. I just can't believe it. And the sad part is, I know that's not everywhere. I know that's just one group. But like I kept saying over and over, if I would have spent all my money to have gone to this thing up in Chicago, I would be mad. But God wanted me to see it, and he wanted me to be a part of it from a distance. You know why? I don't want to be clouded up with their doubt and unbelief. I don't want to be surrounded by their, truthfully, spiritual ignorance. And then the Holy Spirit says to me, they think that where they're at now, they can just run and get a message from me 30 minutes before church time, and it's milquetoast. Or they're going to run around and steal somebody else's message, which I can't bless at all. I said, oh, man. He said, or they think they can just get them all wired up through the praise and the worship. 3 hours praise and worship, 30 minutes word. And they're going to mesmerize them into healing. Better yet. He said, better yet, they're going to preach about deliverance and ain't nobody being delivered, which makes them even more confused. And then when they had the altar call, all of them got up for the altar call. All of them got up for the altar call. I said, look at this. And they were all hurting. Mm-hmm. They were all hurting. And this was supposed to be a kingdom message. No, it wasn't. I don't know what you mean by theatrical antics, but these people, this for real. Wasn't nobody faking. These people need more Jesus for real. And they seeking him for real. And they think that what they getting, and it's for real too. Understand this. I'm not saying that any of it is fake. I'm not saying that any of it is. What I'm saying is there a wave. Let me put it this way. A wave of the Holy Spirit has taken place and they all missed it. Let's say God is on the third wave or the fourth wave. They're on the first wave. And this is why there's so much confusion, because really, there's only one Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit confirms God. If people had a Holy Spirit, you hear the same word, different way, maybe different format, but same objective. The objective has not changed. The objective is salvation, period. I'm talking about real people that just missed out on a portion of the move of God. And they're trying to catch up. And they believe they got the answers. I mean, they genuinely believe they got the answer. They genuinely believe that a move of God is going to take place through them and the Holy Spirit. They over here on A, and the Holy Spirit is fast moving R from A to Z. So last night, I really prayed for them. I really asked God to move for them. You know what? And I know that there, God put my prayer and mingled my prayer in with the prayers of millions of people that are praying for God, that are praying for the church, and not diverted by COVID. COVID is a big, big satanic, demonic diversion. I'm coming to that conclusion. And it's a dangerous diversion because it kills. But none of us should be surprised, because the Bible say the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. So I'm just going to share with you something that God gave me last week, but I didn't get to share it last week. I want each of you to bind and rebuke for your own household germs, virus, and bacteria. I've been praying against germs, virus, bacteria long time. But you got to pray to protect your family, germs, virus, and bacteria. COVID is a virus, they say. Just bind it up, rebuke it. And don't worry about the world. Worry about your family, your family members. Because the world going to have to deal with COVID. The world has to deal with COVID, but you have authority and stewardship over your families, your biological family. I mean, all of them, mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa, niece, nephews, aunts, uncles, cousins, and in-laws. you might be the only one really saved in your family, then you have that responsibility. And if you're not selfish, you'll pray for the household of faith. If you're not selfish. Praise God. Back here last week, God gave me Matthew, like he always does. Matthew 6. Only this time he started with 1. 1 through 20. And I'm just going to remind you of something. Let's read that together. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 20. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 20. Take heed that ye do not your alms before me to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. I want to, you know that song? I don't know if the algorithms will catch me. But I know they obviously got a little bit of a monitor what I'm playing. So I think I won't even play it in the middle of this. You see, brothers and sisters, it is very, very important for you to understand that the God of the whole universe lives inside of you. Did you hear me? What this means is that the very essence of the person of God and the Godhead lives inside of your physical body. They reside inside of your spirit. So the first place for you and I to encounter God has to be in your regenerated spirit. You see, heaven is already on the inside of you. It's not on the outside of you. And heaven should be released from the inside of you, filling the atmosphere around you. Hallelujah. And then you carrying that atmosphere, that heaven that's on the inside of you, that comes on the outside of you, that's carried by you into the realm of the kingdom of God. You got that? I know you'll get it tomorrow. I know you'll get it if you play this again. I said, God of the whole universe lives inside of you. The very personage, the very essence of God lives inside of your spirit man, and it is supposed to occupy every ounce, every inch of your soul. So the first place that you have to encounter God has to be on the inside of you, emanating from your spirit through your soul to the outside of you. Woo! Because heaven is released from the inside of you. And when you release heaven from the inside of you, it fills the atmosphere around you. And then you carry that, or it carries you into the realm of the kingdom of God. Did you get it? It is just marvelous. It can't happen with the counterfeit, because the counterfeit doesn't live in you. You can't get it from the world, because the world ain't got it. The world can't contain it. The world can't even understand it. So when I say that and play that song, heaven belongs to you, it does. Because it's already in you. It's already released by you. You carry it and you release it. So when I play that song, the heaven belongs to you, it does. It really does. It really, really does.
Y'all ready to go to church?
Gonna tell me I got to go up into the court of heaven to get something from God, and heaven is already in me.
I'm gonna hold for the
Y'all already got it.
Rest of peace. You're my every.